federal law that they can call me.
Yeah, I feel like that too, but I was just curious as to the reaction to people. And the other thing was, Jeff brought up about that commercial. I've seen that several times too, and it seems like, to me, the one person, and I never have had anybody describe what it is, but the one person that says that I cannot judge people by their physical appearance, to me, that sounds like the blind person.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, I got a chuckle out of the one young man, and I don't know what his physical disabilities were, but that he said, I can't play for the Dallas Cowboys, but I could coach it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it does bring some humor into it, and then the bottom line was something about, it's not about disabilities, it's about abilities, or something to that effect. And I didn't think it was, you're right, it does sound like when it first starts out negative, but it ends up, if you watch the whole thing, it ends up on a positive note as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Is by the time they've contacted you, have they generally been up the chain of command at NCBVI or not?
Usually not. I think I've maybe had the two last year or this year. They have maybe talked to the supervisor and then have contacted me. And I've seen it where it's better that if they can contact me or if the staff can refer them as soon as possible, because sometimes when they start to go up the chain of command, some people just want to go up the chain of command and want to keep going no matter what, and they've stopped listening. And now they just want to go prove a point. And so sometimes if I can get brought in where there still is a lot of room for negotiation, a lot of room to talk, that's the best. But I've probably seen it both different ways through the commission, at the lowest level, and then also maybe when they've talked to Carlos or that they're going to talk to Carlos.
Do you have the final word on what, I mean, if like that computer that get repaired, I mean, you... If you say needs to be done, is that the final word?
No. I like to think it is, but.
So if you say it needs to be done and the staff still disagrees, then what happens?
I would continue up the appeal process with the client. If I felt that the reason that they were using for denial was inappropriate, was not supported by rules and regulations, and if I was proving that maybe mine was. Because I also have to prove, if I disagree, I also have to show you why I disagree. I can't just say, I don't like that decision and I think you need to do it. I have to be able to explain why I disagree and support it myself.
This is Bob. Has it ever gone to that next level?
I think a long, long time ago.
I can think of one time.
That was your case, Bob.
No, it was Jeff. This is Pearl. I have a kind of a question just to check my understanding. There were some questions about if people weren't wanting to release sign for Vicki to be involved, and on an individual basis, you would advise them accordingly. But since Vicki attends our administrative team meetings, I feel fairly certain that if there were even probably more than one, that would be a red flag, and that you would bring to us kind of in a general perspective, nothing to do with specific cases.
Right, right.
That we need to really look at how we are working with or talking with clients about CAF, because recently there have been some situations where people weren't comfortable. So that's true, correct?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. And then even I think in the past, maybe if like when I was involved with a case and working on a case, and if a staff person made a comment that I felt was inappropriate or that is not, or so against the Rehab Act or so against your rules that I'm aware of, I would bring that. to the supervisor, to the director.
Yeah.
Especially if I, yeah, just to even double check, is this a statewide philosophy or is this just an office philosophy? Because sometimes that will happen. I find that a lot with the general VR agency, that sometimes the offices will make their own philosophy regarding a policy that kind of clearly changes the rule. So, no, I would do that.
Thank you.
Vicki, if a client had a complaint and they went to you, would you have to research it to make sure the client was accurate in the complaint?
Yes, yes, and I do. I listen to their side, and then I also listen to the staff person's side. And then even there's times I've called back with further questions, depending maybe what the staff person has said, I will call the client back and ask some more questions, and then I may call the staff person back. And then I review the policies and the rules, the Rehab Act and the regulations. Yes.
At what point do you bring everybody together, or do you ever do that?
Sometimes it just depends upon the situation. That there may be some cases where I've had that I just end up going back and forth. He said, she said, and I, sometimes you just get a gut feeling. It's like, you know, we're all going to be in a room together, and I know it will be resolved. Some things it can be taken care of immediately with one phone call. Some it may take separate meetings, or I may just bring everybody together, because it's amazing the difference when everybody gets in a room together, the willingness to negotiate.
Vicki,
mm-hmm.
This is Mary Davis. And sitting here listening and being a client at one time, I think, I'm just curious, if I was still a client, I would wonder why you attend the administration team meeting. And maybe I'm out of line, but can you explain
that? No, that's okay.
Why do you do that?
Actually, it's part of my regulations that I'm required to do that. That I have to have direct access to Pearl, and I have to have direct access to policy making. And so we've tried to take, we've looked at it at different ways when policies are discussed, policy making, and sometimes just having a draft at the end is not enough. I miss a lot of the discussion. And so it has helped a lot to be part of the any meetings that I can, because it just helps me to get background information, and I can either say at the beginning, I disagree, or I support that, or when I'm working with a client, I'm better able to explain where that intention came from, or what the intent of that policy was, and why. It helps a lot. And I can see that, but it really, really helps to only keep me informed.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in objectivity, and I don't think it really exists. But it does seem like, in some ways, that a person who came to it as a new person, you know, who was trying to figure out services and trying to figure out things, and especially if they felt like there was a problem with something, might feel like you're a commission person rather than someone who is impartial, whatever impartial might mean, because you are familiar not only with the policies but with the people. And a lot of times, human nature being what it is, we tend to, you know, gravitate toward people we know rather than towards somebody we really don't. And I'm wondering if that ever is something that people ever raise with you?
The clients that I work with do not raise that at all. It people maybe I'd say more maybe staff individuals or people like yourselves may make that connection. But I would and that happens because also with being housed in VR. You know, there's some advocates feel that it cannot work being housed in VR or even probably coming over here on Wednesday afternoons. But I think because people feeling that way and making that comment, I work extremely hard at remaining neutral, and that And I think the commission staff people could say that when I disagree with a decision, they know that, and I tell them that. And we have very good discussions about it. And actually, it helps because I do know them, and they know me, and that if I'm taking a stand on something, they know I mean it. And, or it's just helped a lot in the negotiations. But I can see the perception of it, but I work very, very hard at remaining neutral and being able to look at a case separate.
Well, and I don't think that impartiality or neutrality, you know, born of ignorance is necessarily a plus. So, you know,
But no, I understand that. I really do. There's the outside looking in, yes.
Becky?
Yes, Dr. Nani.
On a couple of occasions in the good old days, before this commission was a separate entity, you did take matters higher up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those involve issues of policy. If there's a policy question that's involved in a dispute, would you go to these people?
To the commissioners?
Yeah. They make policy.
Certainly. I think what makes a difference nowadays is that most policies, like with voc rehab and with here too, that it's in rule. So it's almost, in some ways it's better that they're in rule, but in some ways it's more difficult they are in rule, because if they're wrong or it's very difficult to change them. But certainly if I felt that in working through Pearl, when like working through looking at the rules, and I disagreed with the policy and really felt they were out of line, but Pearl wasn't listening, I would come here without any hesitation. And let the commissioners be aware of that.
Well, I don't want to stifle anybody or anything, but as we mentioned at the beginning of this meeting, you know, with a bunch of things to deal with, if there aren't any other questions, well, if there are any other questions, now is the time, but we do need to move along if there aren't.
Well, this is Larry Mackey. I just want to say that, you know, I agree with a lot of things Vicki said. She's done a great job as far as, you know, staying in contact with counselors, and I appreciate having her around a lot of times, just, you know, and I don't ever hesitate to tell a client if they disagree with a decision or some sort of policy, you know, you have the right to contact Vicki. I know she's going to be fair and look at everything objectively, and you know, a lot of times she's not a Gestapo, she's somebody there to help the client and help the counselor, you know, make the right decisions and interpret agency policy. So everything she said is accurate and true. I totally agree with what she's saying.
Well, we appreciate your coming, Vicki, because, you know, this kind of issue is hopefully, you know, the policies that we are in the seems like never-ending process of trying to get created and firmed up and all of that. We hope they're good ones, but it's always good, I think, to have people from various perspectives look at stuff and see to it that it not only is good to begin with, but that it stays interpreted in a positive way. And so, and I think it's reasonable for clients of the commission to have various avenues to work with and to be able to come at things from different perspectives. So, you know, we're glad that that you're here and that you're willing to talk to whoever needs to be talked with and do what needs to be done. And we appreciate your coming here on a Saturday.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it too.
Excuse me, Barb.
Yes.
Mary Davis. Who else would like the Braille agenda?
I'll take it from here.
And this is Pearl.
Yes.
Okay, another sort of logistic announcement I wanted to make. Sometimes when you go to the other building and turn left and go through that door that's closed to find the restroom, when you come back out, sometimes the way you touch the door will accidentally lock it.
Oh, dear.
So, number one, if you do come back, as that door closed, maybe just double check that it stays unlocked, or if you go over there and find it to be locked, why don't you come back over here? Bob is sitting close to the back and close to the door. He has a master key, and just and get Bob, and he can go unlock it for you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that would be...
There's a bush to the left.
Oh, dear.
With leaves on it or otherwise?
Oh, goodness. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the report from the chairman, and I'm going to try to be really brief. First of all, I want to... usually I try to get an email sent around to all staff on Staff Appreciation Day, which was the 26th of September, and I blew it this year. I seem to be preoccupied in a lot of ways this year. I didn't get that done, but that doesn't mean that I suddenly stopped appreciating everybody. It means that I just ran out of time and didn't, I just blew it. Anyway, I do want to say publicly that we do appreciate the work of the staff of the commission. Our job is made easier by the fact that we have dedicated commission staff, and we do appreciate everything that people do. One of the ways that we saw that happening was throughout the process of our attempt to get a mentoring grant. It was fun to me to watch that process, to participate in it. And, you know, we certainly appreciate all that, not only that Bob Deaton did, but that everybody else did. A lot of staff did contribute suggestions and comments and ways that that could work. We hope that something of that kind will be able to really fly at some point. It's a good idea. I think it was a well-conceived concept and all of that, and hopefully, even though we didn't get that particular one, something will come through that we can use that material for. And, you know, that's one of the ways that we got to see some of how the staff interacts and participate in it, and that was a fun process.
Barbara?
Yes.
If I may, I want to say that, you know, there was a tremendous amount of thought and effort that went into that. We did not get the grant. But, you know, I do think that projects like this are well worth undertaking, because it helps us focus on what it is that we want to accomplish, you know, even if sometimes the opportunity doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
So, you know, in this particular case, it may be that the opportunity may come back again, you know. So we're certainly hoping that will happen. There's some indication that there will be another invitation yet this year for grants of a similar nature. But I do think it's, you know, when we have this type of thing, it's really good for all of us to imagine what it is that we can do, you know. So
absolutely.
I think it was still very effective. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On the 8th of August, I met with Pearl to follow up on our executive session of last time, and we have, you know, since then we have interacted about that. And, you know, I think that one of the things that we dealt with through that whole process and through the last meeting that we had is that we are really hopefully getting closer to some of the policy setting, policy making kinds of things. And I'm not going to belabor that point, because we will be talking about it further during this meeting. But as we work toward how we as a commission board are going to operate, one of the things that came out of that situation is that in situations where we can, we will be working with Pearl as a group on any of those kinds of issues that we may need to deal with when it comes to going into executive session to work on things. On the 5th of September, I attended the Committee on Blind Vendors, Committee of Blind Vendors meeting in Grand Island, and found that to be a worthwhile meeting. And we will be, again, talking about some of those kinds of things later on, so I won't dwell on that either. There was one of the moving forwards that Pearl sent to all of us that had to do with my receiving the Citizen of the Year award from the East Rotary here in Lincoln. I don't mention that on a personal note. I think that I want people to know that whatever any of us does, and I didn't do that as commission board chairman, but whatever any of us does to help people know about what's happening with blind folks and how we are making differences or trying to in the world, that is helpful to all of us. And it was certainly useful to be at the meeting with the mayor, who also had received an award, and to interact with some of the people who are in those situations who can be influential people in our community. So that kind of thing, you know, I appreciate people's comments of appreciation to me, but I also say that we are, this is a group effort, and anything that I do that can help us to be more out there in the community and receive respect or whatever else, that's something that I think is beneficial to all of us. On the 2nd of November, I did present a report about our activities to the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska Convention. And, you know, I think that it's important that all of us report back to our various organizations and, you know, our constituencies in whatever way. And so I was glad to do that. And I think that when we review what we've done, it's always useful so that we can know what we need to work more on, and maybe once in a while to acknowledge that we have made some progress. Some things, whenever you're dealing with any kind of bureaucratic entity, which even though we are a separate commission now, we still are answerable to a lot of the bureaucratic ways of the world. It seems like things move really slowly, but as long as we can know that they're moving and we can help to make that happen, then I hope we're doing what we're supposed to do. On the 13th of this month, I had a really fun opportunity, which again wasn't based on being chairman of the board, but I think anytime we can get out there among people, it's a good thing. And I had the opportunity to go and talk with teenagers at Winterfest, and that was fun. That was absolutely a delightful experience, a wonderful group of kids, and it was just really fun to interact with them. Also, I want to publicly congratulate Connie Daly on being Supervisor of the Year, and you know, as I've mentioned before, these awards and things are wonderful because they allow people to know that people are paying attention to what they do and appreciating what they do. I also want to congratulate Connie Carlo for being the Employee of the Year. She does a lot of things that don't get as noticed sometimes, I think, because of being in one of the other offices. She's in the Norfolk office, but you know, there are tapes of these meetings, and I think we ought to clap for her too.
The clap part.
Yeah. Well, sure. There are a lot of things that go on between meetings, and I want to thank everybody who helps us to learn information, helps us to know what's going on, and prevails upon us to do things. I think with that, I will end my portion of the reporting process and move us quickly to the next item, which is the report from the executive director.
Thank you. In the past 3 months, or since the last meeting, more than 3 months, but I'm sure I won't get all the different things, but of the speaking that I've done, I did also present and hold public forum at the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska State Convention, attended a VIPS peer support group, and spoke with the Nebraska Association of the Blind in Nebraska City. Also concluded my year as president of the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. My term ends the end of December, and so the last national meeting that I presided over was just a week or two ago in San Francisco. And one of the neat things from that I wanted to share with you all, and I'm gonna pass it to the commissioners, and then also when you've seen it, we'll put it up on the table by the refreshments. It's a plaque from the, it's called CANAR, and that's the consortia of administrators for Native American rehabilitation on appreciation of devoted service to the mission of CANAR to improve the quality of life for American Indians with disabilities. It's a plaque that has a really nice sculptural design on it, with in the foreground an eagle's head, and then behind that a flying eagle, and then the background is the American flag, and you feel the stars and stripes. So it's really kind of cool. And at the end of December, I have to give it away to the next president. So I thought this was a good opportunity just to share that, pass that around. Also, at that national meeting, some of the things that we discussed were particularly relevant to the commission here in Nebraska. One, we always have the opportunity to meet with the commissioner, Commissioner Wilson, currently from Washington, D.C., who heads up RSA. We discussed with her the grant process, because our mentoring grant proposal was in fact recommended to be funded and then wasn't. There are pressures within RSA that a decision was made to only fund one grant this past year. So just so that you know, there was nothing lacking in our proposal. And as Bob said earlier, we do plan to resubmit with incorporating some suggestions if that is opened up again, which we hope it will be. Another point, yes.
Just another thought. We did get comments back.
Yes, thank you.
I had those comments recorded now, and so if the board wishes, I can share those with them. You know, for the most part, they're good comments.
Yes, we would like to receive those.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Another point that we've really been working on for a number of years, we do a report at the end of the year that is to RSA that tells how much we've spent on case services and, you know, the administration of the agency and so on. And then when we submit for reimbursement from Social Security, the report that goes to RSA is what substantiates the cost that we're claiming. And states like ours, who have their own training center, do not get to claim all the costs we spend for people going to the center. So obviously we really miss out on a lot of reimbursement. And so we've been doing a number of things to try to change that. We do now, as a result of raising the question to RSA and an answer that was given at the national meeting. We're looking at a way, we have to make sure we can do it within the NIST system, bless you. But what we will actually do is that the counselors will charge, kind of invoice the agency for the costs of the division that is the orientation center. And we haven't shared this with staff yet because we don't know exactly how to do it. But it does look that we will be able to have a way of claiming those costs. And it's about $3,500 per month per student that's in the center. So you can see that that really would add up. So we're very excited about that. We're close to getting that figured out. Also, there was a panel on transition programs, and we were proud to have Carlos Nervan come and present Nebraska's program, and it really is claimed as one of the best in the country, if not the best. So we're really proud of that, and Carlos did a great job presenting the information. There were three panelists, each gave kind of an overview and then answered questions and, you know, responded to discussion. So that was really good, and appreciate Carlos going out there doing that. We also had the monitoring review visit. The big thing from that is that we're looking at some things. In more recent years, we were doing a lot to streamline the process of the rehab case services, and in the process we've kind of missed some things. We need to go back in and put a little more documentation into the case files. So we're working on that. Also the vendors committee meeting, of course, and we'll talk more about that later. We've been working on policies that have to do with staff attending consumer conventions, which we think is really important, performance evaluations, mentoring opportunities. One of the things with the grant, as was mentioned a little bit earlier, is it gave us lots of ideas of how we can kind of incorporate mentoring practices within what we do. And of course, we've always done that anyway, but perhaps not as systematically. And just for an example, with the recent NFB convention, and we're when it gets closer to the spring when the ACB convention is held, trying to set up so that as a part of attending the convention, the clients that go will try to match up as with mentors from the organization. And we just kind of had the idea close to the one that was just held, so that's another thing I haven't, you know, conversed with the leadership in the American Council of the Blind yet, but we will be working on that to see if that's something we can do again and in the future and build on. Seems like a good idea. Workforce Board, I'm on the State Workforce Board, as you know. One of the key things with that recently was working with them to make sure that their annual report is accessible, which it was not. Of course, a lot of activities, college prep workshop, the Winter Fest. The Governor's Summit was a part of the workforce development. Several of us attended that, and that had some good ideas for us. The budget analyst from the Governor's office, last year, the one that we had been working with was moved elsewhere or up the chain of command, and so a new one was appointed. It was too, you know, we were too much into the session and they were too busy for him to get over here last year, but he did come in these past couple months to meet with Bill Brown. Well, of course he met with Bill and I prior, but he came over to tour the center, which was really good. That it always helps for people to understand how we're different and why we're so different from so many state agencies when they come and see what we do. So that was really good.
What is that person's name again?
Elton Larson is the new budget analyst in the Governor's office. we have met with him real intensively last year, but he just hadn't been over here. White Cane Day was October 15th. The proclamation ceremony from the governor was October 22nd. And for Staff Appreciation Day, and I would also like to publicly say my appreciation for all the really great work that the staff does. It's just tremendous. And acknowledge the governor's awards, the Connie Daly and Connie Carlo. It's just important that people see the good work we're doing. State staff meeting is some, we try to do it twice a year. We've had a couple years where we only did, one in the year because of budget issues. But we did have a session recently, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about that. We had a couple speakers on placement and the career search, and the approach is called Open Your Parachute. A lot of you might remember Richard Bowles' work from quite a few years back now.
What color is your parachute?
Well, now he's expanded that to Open Your Parachute. And it helped us look at how to identify strengths and, kind of guide the career search for the work that we do, and how that can augment the placement process. So that was really good. We also had the director of Assistive Technology Program, Mark Schultz, come and speak with us, and that was a good exchange as well. The other thing that we did, that we spent really most of the time on, well, two things. One is discussing situations where there are challenges or barriers to success and placement. Sometimes we would say the unmotivated client in the past, or sometimes we'd say clients with barriers. We're really trying to really think about how we word things and understanding the subtle, sometimes not so subtle, impact that some of those things, do to people, including ourselves if we're working with somebody. So we did a lot of discussion about situations where there had been really, difficulties, but there was a breakthrough or a number of breakthroughs, and talking about what those were and how it all kind of worked. And then also talking about some situations where they're still kind of stuck, and what are some ideas that we can do. So we did a lot of sharing the wisdom of the staff instead of just listening to a speaker who comes in with great ideas and goes away. So I think that was a really productive thing. And that tied into then the other piece of a real challenge for us as a commission is in so many areas, but especially technology and older blind population and really employment needs, which often ties into technology, but the placement stuff is broader than that. We've kind of built our own problems in that we've started doing kind of so much, and now we're not able to respond to all the needs or as quickly as we want to or as effectively as we need to. And so how can we had discussion about what do we need to do differently? Are there things that in fact we're doing that really is not about rehabilitation? There are some times when we're kind of looked at as the be-all, end-all for if you're a blind person and you need whatever, you go to the commission. We're here to provide rehabilitation and independent living services, and an example is somebody has a computer and we helped them set up the computer, and so now they always come to us for when the computer goes down. well, there's lots of factors of, you know, should we, what should we do, what shouldn't we do? We're really trying to look at it in terms of guidelines for best practice so that we really are maximizing the staff we do have, external resources, internal resources, and so on. And that is something some of you who were at the meeting when I was presenting at the NFBN State Convention, someone asked, I heard that, or maybe even a counselor told me that from now on, with older blind people, all you're going to do is make a phone call. And is that true? And I might not have it exactly right, but you know, as we make some changes, we really are trying to make changes in a way that I don't know, does the least harm, or, you know, where we really are still serving the people we're supposed to be serving and providing for the needs we're supposed to be doing, but more efficiently. And so I'd be glad to discuss that more. That's kind of the picture of what we have done.
Pearl, can I interrupt you right there?
Yeah,
you know, it just came to mind, you know, the independent living. I mean, basically, you know, they run through many of the same things. Is it possible to, you know, mass produce a video or cassette or something? You know, I don't know what materials that they get handed, but, you know, especially if there's only so many independent, you know, only so many visits because of schedules and stuff, you know, how soon they can get out to see the people. But if there was something that they could be sent, you know, immediately, that would be accessible to them, they could give them a lot of the good stuff. You know, I
That's really a good idea, Bob. We've kind of formed two main task forces, one to look at technology and one to look at mainly older blind, but then as it connects with field services in general. And so that would be an idea that might be incorporated into that. Another thing we're looking at, for example, the work with the support groups. We could put all 50 of our folks, we don't have 50 counselors, but we could have all of our staff do nothing but facilitate support groups for older blind individuals. And it would be a great service to Nebraska. And I mean, I can't tell you, back when I was doing that, every congregate living for older folks that I would go to would say to me, or 90% of them, gee, we could really use a group here. And so obviously we've created a monster and we can't serve that need. So, you know, we're discussing what is the best way to do that. And it might not be the same in each area of the state too. So that's part of why it's hard to answer questions that, like the one that came up. It's not going to be necessarily a one way for all, but we're going to try to incorporate a number of things. What you mentioned kind of brings up one thing we've been talking about, which is to have a specific curriculum, say 8 sessions worth or 6 sessions worth or whatever, that a group would, you know, we would work with the group from a curriculum base as opposed to an ongoing forever and ever. That's just an idea. You know, part of our problems is as we bring ideas out that aren't fully worked up, you know, then that's what people hear and that's it. And so please understand we're working on all this. We welcome suggestions. And if you have other ideas, send them to me and I'll get them to the right person.